chapter 5, verse 12. I think the logic of this is simple and direct. The language isn't all that easy. Let's try it. Just as sin, he now makes a comparison between Adam, who's a myth, of course. Adam is every man, but as the story stands, Adam stands for humanity, Adam and Eve, man, woman, every man, every woman. So he takes the story as it comes down in the mythology of the ancient world, and Adam is one person, and through Adam comes sin and death. Christ is the second Adam. He's real, historical, Jesus. So the comparison is clear enough, but let's read what he says. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin. Death, be careful of it in the New Testament. Death primarily means separation from God, the source of life. It's not, its primary focus is not physical death. We're all going to die. We always did all going to die. We always were part of humanity. It's not immortality. And even in the ancient story in Genesis, the ancient myth, please remember there were two trees in the garden. And Adam and Eve never even approached the tree of life, you know, the ancient world. If you pluck the fruit from the tree of immortality, then you become immortal, meaning you won't die physically. You live forever. That wasn't the tree they went to. The tree they plucked, they never got near that one, was the tree of determining, I can determine for myself what is right. I don't need God. I don't need obedience. I don't need submission. I can do it. I can pluck it and I can become like God, independent of God, you know? Well, that's the tree. It's the tree of pride and self-focus and independence that they plucked. Human beings, there was never a time when human beings weren't going to physically die. But physical death is an irrelevance. It's part of the organic process of being part of creation, of course. What this death is about is separation from God. It's an eternal death. It's real death. Okay. Just as sin came into the world through one man and death came through sin, so death spread to all because we've all sinned. That's verse 12. Verse 12, this is typical of Paul, he's a passionate kind of writer. Verse 12 doesn't end, it doesn't even pick up till verse 18. There's a long digression, Paul's halfway through the sentence, stops it, tears off in another direction, he's not the only one to do that, and then at the end he gathers back to chapter 12. So you won't get the end of that sentence till you get to verse 18. So, sin, he says, look, sin was indeed in the world before the law, the Torah, that's Moses, sin's, okay, but sin isn't reckoned where there's no law. You can't tabulate it. Thou shalt not kill, killed, look, against the, no. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even though over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who is to come. It's a bit complicated, but I think I can give it to you. The sin that Adam committed in the story is sin of disobedience. Do you get it? To a command from God. Now, the next command you get from God is the Torah, the Ten Commandments. In the meantime, there's no command from God, but they were still sinning. So sin is bigger than Torah. Breaking of Torah is what he's saying there. But, and this is the only point he wants to make in this comparison, the free gift is not like the trespass. If the many died through one man's trespass, much more surely, this is, if you want to ask, what's the point Paul's making? This is it. He's saying, look at all that crook stuff, Adam, sin, original sin, all, he doesn't use the word original sin, of course, but all that. No, what we've got now through Jesus is just infinitely more beautiful than anything we ever lost. So go for it. Much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift of grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed beyond measure for the many. I'll come back to that, the many. 16. And the free gift, this grace, is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses, the Torah, all those sins that have ever been committed between the Torah and Jesus, brings, now I did translate that acquittal, which is a, but I wish I didn't. If I were having my time again and I had the money, and, you know, like the time to do this, I would put there acts of righteousness. The Greek is different. The Greek is dikaioma. It's not dikaiozune, or it's dikaioma, which, if you take it literally, means things that you do that are righteous. So that, I think, is a better translation. The idea is not radically different. So he's talking about what we do, the fruit, the life that comes out of grace, which is much more beautiful. If, because of one man's trespass, that is, violation of a law, that's why he's using the word trespass rather than the general word sin, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those, much more, here's the point, will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus. I don't want to go any more into that, if you don't mind. It's a pretty tight logical thing there. He's making a comparison, and the key point he's making, which will come straight away in a minute, is whatever happened through the mess of sin from Adam, the second Adam has brought us something way beyond in beauty anything we ever lost. That's his key insight. And now watch this, it's quite important. Therefore, this is the end of the logic, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. It's okay, it's beautiful. Well, we're talking about a idiom here in Semitic languages. The word many. In the Gospel it says, this is the cup of the new covenant, for the, well, my brain won't hold it. Can someone give me the words? Anyhow, for the salvation of many. Thank you. For the salvation of many. Now, we might think in English, many means not all. I mean, that's how I would tend to use English. Many, but not the lot. And that's English, but not in Semitic. In Semitic, many and all are not contrary words. Many is contrary to few. For example, if there were five people and all of them were doing something, it wouldn't be many because it's a small group. It's not many. It's not a multitude. It might be all, but it's still small. Many is a multitude. So here's a good example of two verses in Romans, where in verse 18 he says all, in verse 19 he says many, but he means the same. The all is a vast multitude. Now, what might be the distinction between all and many? Now I'm going beyond the text, but I think the different nuance might be that while salvation is offered to all, and the all is a vast multitude, it's not automatic. It's not offered independent of our free welcoming of it. So there is, in the whole letter, everything Paul ever wrote and everything Jesus ever said, which warns us about behaviour, is telling us that it matters what we do, and therefore our faith matters, our welcoming of grace matters, because love won't force itself. God doesn't save us in an objective way, independent of our response of love. But he does give us all the grace we need, we meaning all, the whole human race, to respond in love to it. Here's 1 Corinthians 15:12, which says it, we've already done that, as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But, so that's one man's trespass, but, verse 20, law came in with the result that trespass multiplied. So Adam, Jesus, big gap, Torah, Moses. What was the point of the Torah? Well, there's one thing he says about it, he'd have a lot to say about it. Trespass multiplied, because now, instead of just sinning, instead of just doing wrong, now God has declared his will to us and we've positively rejected that. It's worse, isn't it? I mean, if you don't know what you're doing and you do something wrong, that's one thing. If you do know and do it, it's quite another. So trespass multiplies because law multiplies, and there's much more things that you can do now against the law, and a trespass is, by definition, a breaking of a law. But again, please don't let me lose this in the middle of all this. I don't think this is Paul's clearest statement, or perhaps I'm not as clear on it as I'd like to be, but it seems a very... This is all his, you know, digression. But this is his key point. Where sin increased with the Torah, for the reasons I've just given. Grace abounded all the more. That's the point he's made five or so times during these few verses. Grace is abounding all the more. Abounding all the more. And when you look at any situation we're looking at a parish, there's much more light in the world than hate. There's much more love than hate. There's much more light than darkness. Any family, there's much more good in the world. It's abundantly, it's abounding all the more wonderfully. So that, just as sin exercised dominion in death, so grace might also exercise dominion through justification. That the power in the world of Jesus' love witnessed on the cross is fantastic, and it will bring about immense life through justification leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.